Shooting gas guns and using a lead sled for load development. This week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and our first question comes from Sean, and Sean asks, John, I still greatly enjoy watching your show after all these years. I see gas guns becoming more popular for PRS-type matches, but shooting them is a different animal. Would you spend some time talking about techniques you've found on how to improve your gas gun shooting in PRS matches? Things such as position, grip style, trigger control, and follow-through. Thanks, as always. Well, Sean, you're definitely correct in that shooting gas guns is different than shooting a bolt gun. And the way I look at it is things that you can get away with a bolt gun, you really can't get away with a gas gun. The primary difference between the two should be obvious to most shooters, but when you fire a bolt action rifle, when you press that trigger, the striker is released, it strikes the round, it fires the cartridge, the bullet leaves the barrel, goes downrange, and hopefully impacts the target, and the rifle does absolutely nothing until you release your grip, grab that bolt handle, cycle the bolt to load a fresh cartridge, and then you're ready to go again. So the rifle is dead still once that striker hits the fire, or once the striker hits the primer. It doesn't do anything on its own, so it's a very quiet, very calm setup. You compare that to a semi-automatic rifle like the AR-type platform that I have sitting in front of me here. When you press the trigger, it releases that hammer flies forward, strikes the firing pin goes forward, impacts the primer lights the cartridge, the bullet goes downrange, the gas energizes the system here, it then pressurizes the bolt in the bolt carrier group. That causes the bolt to unlock and separate from the bolt carrier group. The bolt carrier group travels to the rear with that excess gas pressure and then reaches its furthest most rear travel. The cartridge stack elevates a new cartridge in line with the bolt. The bolt moves forward, strips that cartridge out of the magazine, slams it into the chamber. The bolt rotates and locks closed. You're ready to go again. The hammer has been cocked by that rearward travel of the bolt. Now, when you release the trigger, you get that click, that trigger reset, so you know you're ready to go again. And the rifle is ready to go, and it executes all this faster than you can think about it. So there is a ton going on when you press that trigger in a semi-automatic rifle. And the way we as shooters perceive it, because we don't think about the whole unlocking, cocking, feeding, all that whole cycle of operations of the semi-automatic rifle, we simply perceive it as multiple recoil impulses. So when you press the trigger, you get the initial recoil impulse of the cartridge firing. The bolt then has to unlock, fly to its rearwardmost travel, and it will generally impact the rear travel. Either it will impact the buffer or the spring will stack or various other things, but basically it hits that rearward travel and that mass has to slow down, so that is another slight recoil impulse. Then that whole carrier has to go forward, strip the cartridge, and then it stops forward, so we get a lighter forward recoil impulse too. So you're basically getting two rearward recoil impulses and a forward impulse. And this disturbs the whole platform. It doesn't stay as still as a bolt action rifle does. And so what I've found shooting semi-automatic rifles compared to bolt action rifles, very often on the exact same day in the exact same conditions, is that a semi-automatic rifle, to gain the peak accuracy out of it, requires what I call a harder hold on the rifle. Very often, if you are in prone, bagged, so we take the bipod out of the equation, all that stuff. If we are in a nice, solid, bagged in position with a bolt action rifle, you barely have to touch the rifle to be able to get peak accuracy out of it. When we go with the semi-automatic rifle, if you try to shoot it in that same condition, it's going to move around a whole lot more. So we want to make sure that when we're shooting off of a bipod, we get a nice hard load on that bipod so that we do have a good amount of pressure on the buttstock in the pocket of the shoulder. I will also generally take a firm handshake grip on the pistol grip, whereas on a bolt gun, very often I can float my hand. As long as I have positive control over my trigger finger, I can get away with a lot lighter grip on a bolt gun than on a semi-automatic gun. A semi-automatic gun, I take that hard handshake hold, not crushing it. I'm not sacrificing any trigger control. I just take a firmer grip on the pistol grip than I would on a bolt gun. And then with my support hand, I make sure that that buttstock is seated solidly in the pocket of my shoulder and that it's not going anywhere. So that from a prone position generally allows me to get a higher level of accuracy when I'm shooting groups with a rifle like this than I can if I take a loose or a sloppier hold on it. And that's just what I've found. It takes a little bit of experimentation to get that proportions of how much pressure you're applying to the pistol grip before you get to the point where that's too much, how much pressure you're applying to the buttstock before you overload the bipod and it rolls forward on you. Those kind of things take a little bit of experimenting. Now, I do want to clarify one point, because whenever we talk about the prone position, we talk about bipods. This always seems to get confused by new shooters. When we load the bipod, we are not pushing forward with our shoulder into the bipod of the rifle. That applies muscular tension to the rifle. It is not a good situation. Then we tend to push the rifle when we fire, and you're going to have not peak accuracy out of the system. So when we are loading the bipod, and this is what I teach my students to do time and time again, the exercise we do at the range is you get the rifle set in on target, then you lift up the buttstock of the rifle. You slide your body forward, you get the shoulder pocket, you get the buttstock seated into the shoulder pocket, and then you simply relax straight down. And when you go down, because you've created this peak, when you go down, that loads that bipod. And you will get a little bit of movement of the bipod going forward, but once it stops, you now have loaded the rifle as much as the friction between the bipod and the surface you're on will allow. And as long as you don't go forward and then pull back, your bipod's loaded. Now, if you go too far forward, you're going to have to slide your whole body forward, or you're going to have to pull the rifle back, start that peak, and drop back down, which is the optimal way to do it. If you pull the rifle back at any point, you have now unloaded the bipod. So we cover this a little bit in our prone position video, which I will go ahead and link down below so you guys can check that out. We intend to continue the skills videos at some point in the future, but the prone position video is the first one. It's not specifically talking about semi-automatic rifles, but it is applicable to this situation as well. So boiled down to the basics, I find that semi-automatic rifles require a harder hold. Now, when we start getting into barricade shooting and a variety of other different positions, I don't find a lot of differences between the semi-automatic and the bolt gun, because there we already have sacrificed stability. We're just trying to gain as much stability as possible. And when I'm shooting off of rickety barricades, shooting off of various positions, very often I do have to muscle the gun to a point. Now, when we start talking about free recoil techniques, like we've discussed before, if you're shooting off of a really rickety barricade and you're just going to try to support the rifle, not really put it in your shoulder and then fire it, that technique pretty much applies the same between bolt guns and semi-automatic guns. As soon as the rifle fires, you're going to lose your sight picture. The rifle is going to bounce around anyway, no matter if it's a bolt gun or a semi-auto gun. So just be prepared for that. And at that point, you're shooting them pretty much the same. The benefit there being is as soon as you can reacquire sight picture and reset the trigger, you're ready to go again. So the more unstable the position or the more whacked out the position gets, the more I prefer having a semi-automatic rifle because of that trigger reset and the ability to send a follow-up shot very quickly. So I do really like these guys in quite a few different competition environments, but they do take a little bit of finesse differently than the bolt guns. So that's just what I found. That's from my experience. Those of you guys out there that shoot bolt guns and gas guns, how do you find the different technique between the two works? What do you change up when you jump on the gas gun versus the bolt gun? Or do you find that your technique doesn't allow you or doesn't require you to change either one? I'd like to hear what you guys have to say, so go ahead and drop it in the comment section down below. And our next question comes from Ben, and Ben asks, what are your thoughts on adjustable shooting rests like the Caldwell lead sled for testing the performance of your reloads? Will these devices take the human error out of shooting enough to give me an honest assessment of the load's potential? My concern is that these devices may impact the harmonics of the rifle and skew the data I will get from testing. Do you share this concern? Thanks for all you do. I'm always learning from you. Ben, there for a while, when I was doing a lot of shooting in one session and really trying to get peak performance out of various different rifles, I would take a Caldwell Rock bench rest out to shoot. And it's not necessarily a lead sled. It didn't actually bag the rear of the rifle in, but it just supported the fore end of the rifle. And what I found was the technique of shooting with that rest was significantly different from just shooting in the standard prone position, and I was having a lot of problems fighting the rest, and I would get better accuracy just going with a bipod and a rear bag than shooting off the rest. Now, I know if I actually took the time to train with the rest and set the rifle up specifically to shoot off the rest, I would likely get greater accuracy out of the rest. Bench rest shooters show this time and time again. They have some very, very fancy bench rest rigs where they are hardly touching the rifle at all and shooting off of it and getting absolutely amazing accuracy. So I know that a bench rest can provide a greater level of consistency for the rifle than the human shooter can provide holding the rifle. So that's really not the question. The question is, the shooter's ability. Do you want to train and you want to set your gun up and your load up and everything to run off a bench rest, or do you want to set it up for field conditions and then just try to bag the rifle in and get the best accuracy you can while you're testing that? Now, when we switch over to actually how the load performs in the rifle and the harmonics in the rifle, you are going to have a change in how the rifle performs if you are setting a light rifle into a lead sled where it's not going to allow the rifle to move at all. If you are strapping the fore end in, the back is against a hard rest, and then you're loading it with 50, 60 pounds a shot so that it can't go anywhere, then yes, the rifle is going to perform differently. You are going to have different harmonics than if you are just hand-holding the rifle or bagging it in or shooting it off of a bipod. Now, it's possible, depending upon how your prone position is and how you are holding the rifle, that you can get slight differences in muzzle velocity between a bagged-in rifle or a handheld rifle. I have not gone through and done testing yet to see if I get differences in muzzle velocity from prone position or from standing or from offhand or from free recoiling the rifle. I really need to get some time and get out to the range and hook it up and do some of that testing, because I'm curious to see if there's a difference for me. But what I generally recommend is that if you are developing a load for a specific circumstance, then you need to test the load and verify the load in that same circumstance. I would not do load development on a lead sled that you are then going to shoot prone or offhand or from barricades, because that's then going to cause you some problems. You may be able to get away with the lead sled for initial load development, but when you start fine-tuning, then you want to start shooting it the way you would normally shoot it. Now, there is a caveat to that. It depends upon how accurate you are as a shooter. If you are having some problems and you need to develop a load so that you can get out and you can get more practice in, then maybe strapping it into the lead sled just so you get a safe, workable load, and then you go from there. That may be acceptable. That may be an option. If you are handicapped, if you have some issue that does not allow you to deal with the beating that you can take, shooting a, say, something like a 300 Win Mag over a 10-15 shot string. Some of us that are in good physical condition don't necessarily have a problem with sitting down and burning through 40-50 rounds of 300 Win Mag. Some that are running a lighter weight hunting rig and maybe have had shoulder surgery or other problems may have some issues with that. So I'm not bagging on doing load development from a lead sled. I just believe that you will probably get a better performing round overall if you develop the load in the manner that you intend to use it, not necessarily taking a shortcut like a lead sled. So that's just my general feelings and opinion on it. But again, I'd like to hear what you guys have to say. Those of you that actually use lead sleds, I know there are a few of you out there that use lead sleds for load development. How well do you find that that works out? And do you find a change in the load when you go to shoot it, bipod and rear bag, versus when you shot it from the lead sled? Do you find a change in point of impact? Do you find your zero changes? Or is it lost in the noise of everything else going on? So let me know what you guys have found out. And that does it for this Mail Call Mondays. As always, if you guys have liked the show, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. If you want to get notified on when we release new content, make sure you click that little bell icon down below. If you have questions or comments, leave them in the comments section down below or send them to us on Facebook or Twitter. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast app, you can send questions to us at 8541tactical@gmail.com. And until next time, get out and shoot.